What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 431, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just winding down the year, man.
This is our last podcast of 2024. I feel like this year has been crazy and we have a lot to talk about. We'll be talking about two products that I had the chance to take a look at. We'll be talking about RTX 50 series. We essentially have all the details. We have everything that's been leaked. So we
except for maybe like solid prices, right?
Yeah, we don't really have prices yet, but we have all the cards that we assume are going to be launched or announced at CES. We have a little AI mini AI accelerator from NVIDIA, which was taken out of the oven by Jensen. So in his video, so it's called the Jetson Orin Nano, which is a pretty cool little device. We have a which you talked to me about. We have there's a really interesting case from Antec that came out. Haven't praised Antec in forever because we haven't been very happy with Antec products, at least from what they used to be. So this looks like a pretty nice case. And then we're going to go over some of our favorite products of 2024. So a look back at our favorite products. And I didn't put this in the show notes, Ryan, so you might want to be thinking about this as we go through the podcast. But also we'll talk about some of the biggest tech stories or like what were the big kind of PC hardware and tech things that went on throughout 2024. So we're going to have a lot to talk about tonight. If you are in the live chat, definitely say hi, ask a question, comment, all that kind of stuff. We already have Corey in the chat. Hope you're doing well back in PA, Corey. And let's just jump right in. So I took a look at two products and we're talking about RTX 50 series, but there's still a lot of people who want to build a computer now. And RTX 40 series is still obviously out there. And the RTX 4070 Super is a very good card for a lot of people, kind of in that mid-tier when it comes to enthusiast cards. If you're not getting into the 4070 Ti or the 4080 Super, obviously not in 4090 class, but it's going to be a really great card for 1440p. And I took a look at Gigabyte's RTX 4070 Super Gaming OC 12G. We got to get rid of these long product names.
That's not terrible. At least it makes sense. It's a gaming card. It's overclocked. It's got 12 gigs of RAM. But
yeah,
like I can understand that. If it was a jumble of just characters and numbers, I'd have a problem.
Yeah. I guess it's not horrible. I guess since like the RTX 4070 and the 4070 Super both have 12 gigs of RAM. I don't know if the 12G is necessary, but in any case, this is their card. It is factory overclocked with a slight little overclock, and it's going to have their custom cooling solution. And as you can see, some cool RGB lighting. Now, if we want to take a look at the card, it's a decently beefy card. It looks pretty plain Jane when you first look at it because it's like a black shroud, black fans. It doesn't really show what it's about until you turn it on and power your system on. But triple fan cooling solution, and these fans spin in opposite directions for better airflow and everything like that. And then under that, you have two heat sinks, which are, as you can see, connected by multiple heat pipes. You have a direct cooling sort of block right on top of the GPU. It's going to keep everything nice and cool. You will notice the PCB only goes to about here, and the rest of this is a heat sink, and your fan's going to cool that off. It will cool that off because you have the pass-through cooling, like we see a lot of these RTX 40 series cards. Full cover metal backplate, but it's cut out here to give you that pass-through cooling, which is great. This is real metal. It's not plastic or what was MSI calling that other stuff they used? Acetyl or something?
Yeah, acetyl.
Yeah, or something, and everybody was like, we want metal. There is a little switch here that will switch between OC and silent mode that doesn't change any card specs, like as far as like overclocking. It just changes the fan profile. So if you want a more silent fan profile, you can enable that. It's set to OC by default. Of course, we have that 12VH PWR power connection right there on the end of the PCB. That is the only connection, of course, that you're going to need. But a very solid-looking card overall. Now, you want to keep in mind that this is slotted for two-slot, but it's essentially almost a three-slot card. So when it comes to spacing on your motherboard, mostly motherboards, you should be fine. But you want to keep in mind that if you have other expansion cards, that you have three slots available because you won't be able to fit another expansion card. Say if you had like a sound card or a capture card or something like that in your system, you want to make sure you have three slots available for this. And when it comes to like, if you did want to put this in a smaller form factor system, again, some of those are only slotted for two slots. So you want to make sure that you at least have room for this card. And then the lighting on this is pretty cool. So what Gigabyte has done, and they've done this a little bit differently, is that one, you have the Gigabyte logo that's going to light up and you can customize that. Now, when it comes to the lighting on the fans, it only lights up when the fans are spinning. So if the fans are off, there's no lighting. And some people don't like that. But as the fans spin up, the lighting gets more and more pronounced, which is pretty cool. So it does look quite nice. Did I not put more photos? I didn't put more photos in there. But like, it does look really, really nice when the fans are spinning. It looks really, really cool. And it's basically a light bar that is around the entire like inner shroud here. It looks really nice, I have to say. So it looks good. And this is what it looks like in our test system here. As far as performance goes, you can check out all. We have graphs for 1080p, 1440p, and 4K. But if we just go to the end and kind of look at our average FPS, at 1440p, we're at 126 FPS, which means this is a very, very solid 1440p card. And this is without any extras, with none of the DLSS or anything like that. So if you wanted to get even more performance, you can of course enable DLSS. And if your game does not support DLSS, but it supports AMD FSR. Remember, FSR can work on any graphics card, doesn't have to be AMD. So you can obviously use that upscaling tech if you want to. So really great at 1440p, and you can see that it does beat out the Asus TUF RX 7800 XT. So when NVIDIA first released the 4070 and 4070 Ti, we even talked about it. There was a big performance gap between those two cards. And basically AMD filled that gap with the RX 7800 XT. Now this card sort of fills that gap with better performance and some would say some better extras like DLSS and art and, you know, real-time ray tracing and then the NVIDIA broadcast features and all the other stuff that you get. Now, looking at 4K, we're about 67 FPS there across our four games. So again, you're going to get over 60 FPS. If you wanted to push it higher, again, you do have things like DLSS to get even more performance. Or again, you could just turn down settings. This is with all the settings completely maxed out. So I think this is a solid card, $624.99, which means it has a $25 increase on the over a stock card. You're getting a slight overclock, like I said, and that's just on the GPU. You're not getting any memory overclocking or anything like that. And you're getting the better cooling solution. You're getting the RGB lighting. You're getting all of that stuff. So I think for an extra $25, it's a solid card. I think it looks good in the system. The cooling solution is really good. The only thing about the cooling solution is that it can get a little bit louder. We can even like look at it under our noise levels. Like it is towards the higher end of our noise levels. So something to keep in mind. It's not something that's going to, it doesn't sound like a, what was that AMD card that was just so like
those blower cards are just super loud. Yeah.
Sound like an AMD blower card because those are really, really loud.
Hey, NVIDIA had some back in the day too, but yeah.
It doesn't sound like that, but it is a little louder than some of the other cards that we've tested. But again, you can enable that silent mode button and that's going to turn the fans down a little bit. I don't think it's going to really impact performance at all because this card was fine under load. We didn't have any issues temperature-wise or anything like that. So I think it's a solid card. I think if you're looking for something to play 1440p or even if you're like 1080p, higher frame rate, especially when it comes to like Counter-Strike and those type of titles. This is going to be a solid card. Like I said, I think it looks really good too, and especially when the fans are running. So definitely check that review out. Always good to look at graphics cards, and we'll be gearing up. This is the last card that we're doing on this test system. So our new test system for 2025 will be the Intel Z890 system. And that's going to be all set up very soon. And I need to find game. We're going to redo our test.
Like your suite of software?
Yeah, suite of software that we're going to be testing as well. So lots of upgrades. I need to start thinking about that, because apparently cards are getting announced at CES. So.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah. So, but check out the review. Like I said, still really good stuff there from Gigabyte. The next product I'm actually using, it's kind of hard to see, but it's this desk mat that you see right here that does have some RGB lighting. So it's the Height Canvas. And we've said this and we've seen this, that Height does things differently. They are, they take something and they make it kind of their own. And RGB mouse pads are nothing new. We've seen them for a very, very long time. But Height did something a little bit differently. So this is their canvas. It's a mouse mat, not just a mouse pad. It's a mouse mat. So it's 900 by 370 millimeters. So as you can see, just like in this photo, I have no problem fitting my keyboard and my mouse on there. And then you can see the RGB lighting, which it's definitely the brightest RGB lighting that I've seen on a mouse pad. Another thing that's really nice about this is the top of it. So this section, it's just black. That's the only color that they offer. But the top of this is actually water resistant. So if you put water on it, it will kind of just like dribble off, you know. Oh, it's nice. Not going to soak into the mouse pad. It's also like that sort of makes it stain resistant as well, which is really nice. So even though it's black, I feel is like really hard to ruin. Because I've ruined a lot of mouse pads because sometimes I eat here, and I'm not the cleanest eater, let's just say. But it's nice to have that as well, and it feels really nice too. So like obviously, you know, I'm using the mouse pad, and you want it to feel nice too. So it feels nice, and my mouse glides really well. I would call this more of like a speed mouse pad. So if you're not familiar, like a lot of mouse pads have that sort of like a kind of like just thin rubbery top. This has like a sleek, it's like a polyester top, but it's your mouse glides really, really well, better than most mouse pads. So I definitely like that as well. And then around it, you have this sort of section where your RGB lighting is, and they've done it really well, because a lot of implementations I've seen of the RGB lighting, it's like a little, sort of like a little rounded section, and they have RGBs embedded in it. The RGBs are actually embedded deeper into the mouse pad, and this is just like the diffusion. So this section is just the diffusion itself, and this mouse pad is heavy, and you really can't fold it up traditionally. Like you don't want to bend this, because the RGB elements will get broken if you like actually like bend this in half. You don't want to do that. And then you have a little control box here. That's just where your Type-C connection goes. So it's just a single Type-C. There is no physical button on this to switch RGB modes. It's all done through their software, which I am a little bit disappointed with, because some people may just don't want to run software. If I could just go through a couple of the RGB effects, it would have been nice to go ahead and do that. And this also comes with a Type-C to Type-C cable to go directly into your PC, but it also has a Type-C to dual Type-A if you don't have a Type-C, but it does take two Type-A ports if you don't have the Type-C, so just keep that in mind. The back here has this sort of rubber, so it's going to stay in place. Like, this thing is not moving at all, which is really, really nice. Now, the RGB lighting, like I said, it's the best RGB lighting that I've seen on a mouse pad. It's very, very bright. Like I said, I mean, super, super bright. It's going to light up your desk, especially at night, which is great. Now, they use their Nexus application. That's what they use for all of their cases and all of their other hardware. If you go into the lighting section, they kind of have this really unique way to do lighting. Typically, we have, so like on other RGB mouse pads, like the RGB that goes around is a lighting zone, and then we can set an effect of that lighting zone, or maybe there were two lighting zones on the mouse pad. This, you set an effect, like this is a mixed color that's going to cycle through different colors, sort of in a gradient, and the universe means that this is every Hype product that you have connected, they're all going to run this effect through it. And you can make this universe box bigger or smaller, so the effect can run through different sections of it how you like, which is really cool. Now, if you don't want to use the universe section, you can just set planets. So this is the planet section. And then through that effect, through that same effect, you can move around your products. So you can see I have the canvas here. Like it does detect your motherboard lights and RGB headers, and you can change everything and move them around how you like. So if you have the canvas sitting on your desk, and like in my case, I have my system over here, I can have an effect going through everything, and it's all based on location, which is really, really cool. And it works really well. And there are a ton of different effects. You can also set it to music. You can also set it to your screen. So whatever's being displayed on the screen, it will mimic through the lighting. So it's really cool. You can set it to music. You can set it to a video. You can set it to like the amount of customization that you get within the software is really, really awesome. And like I said, you can see what this looks like. I mean, this thing looks amazing sitting on the desk. It just does.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Is it very thick?
It is thick. It's not... Yeah, I would say it's thick, because what you essentially have is you have the top polyester part, which is pretty thick. And then in between that, you have the diffuser right. elements. And then on the bottom, you have the bottom sort of rubber piece. So it is heavy. It is thick. Okay. Like it gives you some cushioning almost, not a ton, but it feels really, really good. Now, the only conflict that I have is the one RGB strip on my motherboard. When I installed the Canvas software, it just started flickering for some reason. And that's probably just because, so I have an Asus motherboard. That's probably just because, what is it? What is Asus's RGB?
Aura.
Yeah, or there's a conflict there somewhere. Hype told me that you probably either just run one or the other, right? On one or the other, you won't have that issue. I don't think it's a big issue. I think that you can turn that off and run everything through Canvas. I think you get more customization that way too, in my opinion. Now, here's the thing. This mouse pad launched for $119, which is a lot for a mouse pad.
Yeah.
They've dropped the price to $99. But at least when I wrote the review, it was only $39. It was only $40. Yeah, it's still $40.
Yeah, it's, I think.
Yeah,
at $40.
It's still $40 on Amazon. And if you think about it, most mouse mats on the low end are $25. Some are $30. Some are $40. So at $40,
right?
It's a great deal. Your desk is going to look awesome with this, especially if you're in a darker place like I am here. It just looks so good. And the Nexus software is great too. So if you are looking for an RGB mouse pad, this is definitely one at that price that I can recommend. I think it's kind of a lot to ask for $99, and $119 is also a lot to ask, I think, for an RGB mouse pad. Yeah. And there's no USB pass through on this either. So a lot of RGB mouse pads do give you like a USB pass through where you could connect like a little dongle or something for sure. Like your mouse or something like that, but you don't get that. But for what it is, I think for $40, it's a solid deal. So if you're going to get it, pick it up on Amazon, because on Hype's website, it is still $99. So yeah, real cool stuff. We'll move on to CaseMod Friday, and we have a SNEF computer design build in the Tryx, TRYX, Luca, which is their case. And it's just another SNEF build that just one of my favorite. He's like one of my favorite builders out there. So he put the Tryx logo on the front reservoir there, and really, really like the color choice here with the orange. Everything matches. He has the What is that's the water block, huh?
Yeah,
that's not. I think I was thinking it was the AIO, but no, that's just the water block, right. The ASUS ROG water block that has the screen on it. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, it looks pretty dang good. I mean, sometimes we see the builds, and the reason it stuck out to me is on that image, he's got like the USB headers cables going through there, but he used white cables, right? A lot of times we'll see builds where they don't necessarily hook up all the, you know, USB cables for the headers and stuff, right? To keep it a little cleaner.
Yeah.
But he used white, which I think looks really nice on there.
Yeah, I think everything just goes really, really well together. Yeah. It's just like it. I think the color choice is like a big thing, and I think it just goes really, really well with this. Like the orange, everything.
Is that a custom like stand for that case, or is it always on that kind of bottom like that?
I think it's a custom stand for the case. I don't know Trix all that well.
Yeah, I don't know.
EK cooling.
Yep.
In there, yeah. I like it. Solid.
You think we'll see any additional like cooling options from ASUS? You know, they've kind of dipped their toes in that water block and obviously the AIOs. You think we'll ever see like some GPU stuff? Because they've done like hybrid cards before, or like,
yeah.
You know,
maybe I don't know. I that's not necessarily their main. And like when they do a hybrid card, it's like very limited run type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would see necessarily like an ROG water block, right?
That right. You could maybe you just see the water cooled version.
Yeah, you would probably see a water cooled, like a special edition water cooled card. Yeah. And who knows if they partner with EK, Alpha Cool, any of those guys for the block, but it's power. You don't know. This was a cool idea, and I think it worked well for them. The block with the screen on it, but because they don't, you know, you're putting it on any CPU, it doesn't matter. But like when it comes to the, like, they're not going to make an ROG block that somebody's going to put on a Gigabyte card or like,
right.
A,
no.
Yeah. At least my opinion. I have no clue. But I mean, CS is coming up. We'll see new products. So
yeah,
who knows what's going to be there. So, but yeah, like I said, I like this build. Shout out to Snap. He always does really, really solid builds. And this one is a another good one there. So yeah, awesome stuff there. Now on to the news for the week. First, RTX 50 series. We've talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it again this week. Zotac put up product pages
for another
RTX 50 series. And this was found by Video Cards, and they list the RTX 5090, RTX 5090D, which is going to be for the Chinese market, RTX 5080, RTX 5070 Ti, and RTX 5070. And we can assume these are going to be the launch models. So this is what's going to be announced at CES from everything that we've gathered. The 5090 will have 32 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory, which makes me think that initial allocation might be a little low because GDDR7 is not as widely available as GDDR6 or GDDR6X. But this essentially confirms that it is going to be a 32 gigabyte card, because when they were finding this product page, they do list 32 gigabytes of memory available for, you know, if you're filtering on their graphics card page. No other card has 32 gigabytes of memory. So, and of course, GDDR7 is also confirmed.
Yeah, but look at the it says no results found of GDDR6 or 7 and 32 gig, right?
Yeah, but what I mean is the filters are now there. They used to not be there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so the filters are there. They used to not be there. And again, the drop down didn't have these in there, and they have since been removed, obviously, but we assume those are going to be the launch cards, or ones that are announced. We haven't heard anything on like pacing as far as like, are these all going to be available first? You would expect 5090 first, then down the product stack. That's how I would assume it's going to work. You want people to buy the most expensive one first. That's typically, and that's your flagship.
That's your flagship.
So you want people to buy that first. But I like I said, I think this is going to be the launch. Based on this, I think this is going to be the launch, because again, 5060 is still it's a highly bought card, because so that is not listed. So maybe we'll see that later in the year. But for RTX 50 series, I believe this will be the launch. The lineup that will be announced at CES based on what we've been seeing. So that's really, you know, it gets you kind of excited, you know, about the cards. Inno3D, they also talked about, they put out a thing, and they since changed it, but they put out a thing about RTX 50 series and some things to expect from them at CES and all this other kind of stuff. And they talked about enhanced AI features. And the big one is, like, they talk about DLSS, and then I would assume we're going to get a new version of DLSS, which will be nice. Even better upscaling, better ray tracing as well, coming. But the other thing was neural rendering right here, neural rendering. So will new graphics cards be able to do more AI accelerated tasks, different things like that? I think, again, with 40 series and even with 30 series, we saw all this tech, right? We saw ray tracing, and then DLS came along, and then we had upgraded versions of those and things that NVIDIA is adding. So when it comes to all of these AI enhanced features, we can assume that at CES, we'll see some of these features unveiled when they announce these cards, right? I would assume, just like with the, you know, 30 to 40 series, you could only do DLSS 3 on a 40 series card, things like that. So I think we'll see a lot of AI stuff. Old man in the chat says, one prediction I can make is that the new cards are going to be expensive. Do you think so? 4090 launched at what, $1,599, right?
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see 5090 at $1,599, or do you think we'll get into the 2000 range for it?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen any I don't know. Maybe $1,699.
So you don't think it's going to be more expensive?
No,
based on like everything now, like
if we do see an increase, I don't think it'll be a whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to see just straight up same price, but I don't know that that's going to happen without some discounts on the previous version, which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah,
but they could announce price cuts on previous version at the show.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So we'll see lots of stuff. I assume we'll see all of these cards at CES. So I'm really excited about that. But adding more feature set to these cards is something that I'm always pumped about. So we always talk about NVIDIA Broadcast that was added with what, 20 series, I think.
20 series, yeah.
Yeah. So, So a lot of these AI features really can be useful. So we'll see what new things are going to be announced at CES, but pretty cool. Also on the NVIDIA side of things, NVIDIA is big into AI. They power most of the data centers that are doing your ChatGPT, that are doing your Microsoft, what's their thing called? Copilot.
Copilot.
But AI is something that a lot of people are tinkering with. It's the new thing, right? People are developing LLMs, large language models, and they're doing different things. And this is like a new thing that people are learning as well. Talk about students, talk about that. But like, you can't just invest in a data center. Like, you can't just invest in a bunch of GPUs to do all of this when you're just learning. Maybe you just want to learn. NVIDIA did unveil a Jetson Orin Nano. Super Developer Kit, which essentially is a compact generative AI supercomputer. And it's $250.
Which is wild to me because you would expect, I mean, I know it says the price is down from $499, right? It's like they could charge three times as much for this thing, probably.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Being NVIDIA, seeing that $250 price point was quite a surprise, to be honest.
I don't know that much about like AI stuff, but it says 1.7x leap in generative AI inference performance, 70% increase in performance to 68 INTA tops, 50% increase in memory bandwidth. So it's, as they said, like whether you're creating an LLM chatbot or retrieval augmented generation, building a visual AI agent, or deploying AI-based robots, this could be an ideal solution. Like this could power like an AI sort of like robot, right? Because it's all being done locally, so it doesn't have to go out to the cloud to do whatever you're asking it, which is pretty cool. And he did his thing where he we have a video in the article where he took it out of the oven, like he does a lot of products, but pretty cool. And there's different versions of it that you can get up to 16 gigabytes, but pretty cool little device. It would be fun to kind of mess around with if you were like learning LLMs or you were doing something like that. And this is something like, you know, you invest in this before investing in something a little bit bigger that would cost a lot more money. So I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, $250. I mean, that's the test AI stuff, I think, is really, really cool. So check that out if you are interested. On to motherboards. I don't know how this person got this motherboard because it's not out yet. For Intel's new processors, the Core Ultra processors, currently the only chipset you can get is the high-end Z890. We've been reviewing some Z890 motherboards, but the next one coming up is the B860, which is more affordable, not as strong of a feature set, but still great for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And this was from... Oh, he took the video down. The video is up for a while. Because the video was up for well over a week, they took it down. So, I don't know how this person got this board, but this was from PC Expert on YouTube, and they showed the board off, which, as you can see, is an all-white board. All-white, looks really nice. Pretty cool to see these rollouts. Some Z890 boards are very expensive, and this kind of saves you, right? So this will still give you a great feature set and not be as expensive. So pretty cool to see it well before it's being announced. So
yeah, you like you said, how did this guy get this board?
I don't know how I got it.
Fell off a truck somewhere.
Yeah, fell off a truck, or they had access to somebody who works at a store who maybe they got these early. Not sure, but pretty cool to see. The video has been taken down, so we only have a couple screenshots to take a look at the board. So, but yeah, pretty cool. If you're interested, you should see a lot of these very soon. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then Antec, who I've trashed, and I'll take full credit for trashing Antec because I feel like they haven't put out a good product in a very long time, besides a couple of their open body high-end cases, which I think looked excellent.
Yeah.
Beyond that, for like the normal consumer, they haven't put out good cases, in my opinion.
Right.
But they launched their Performance 1M aluminum ITX gaming case. So this is the sort of traditional ITX gaming case that's kind of like this long cube looking thing. Aluminum, which is definitely a plus.
Yep.
It does look very much like the Terra from Fractal Design with the two you know, one side is your motherboard, the other side. Sandwich
design, yeah.
Yeah, the sandwich design here. But I do like the way this one looks. I mean, it does even have the tab at the back like the Terra does. Kind of
the same. There's a couple cases that have that.
Yeah.
One thing I don't like, I mean, yeah, it's CNC milled frame. So that internal red is CNC milled. It's not steel or anything. And then you know, the thing I don't like is that front panel is not ventilated. It's really? Solid. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because I would have loved to see a fan up front there.
Yeah.
There isn't one. I mean, up front, you're going to have your power supply kind of sits up there. And then they have a mount for like a 2.5 inch.
But even SSD. So, you would want some ventilation.
You would think, but all the sides on this are mesh or ventilated, right? And then there's optional tempered glass sides as
Maybe. I think it's an aesthetic thing, because if your power supply is mounted here, you'd kind of see
It probably wouldn't look the greatest, but you could do something to make it look good, in my opinion. Yeah, I sent you a message about this case and was like, oh, I may have found my case for my next build. I don't know. It kind of depends. It only has room for two fans, though, on the bottom. It'll do two 120s or two 140s, which is kind of interesting. So there's only two fans at the bottom. There's no fan at the back. The back is kind of open
and it's going to be crunched at the bottom here, because the fans are going to fit right here.
Yes. Yeah. So you got the one up front has more, I guess, airflow. The one in the back kind of gets choked off by the GPU bracket.
And I don't know. The one in the front, I mean, it's going to get choked off a little bit by the power supply that's going to sit there too.
Yeah.
So, but
if you put 140s in there, you know.
Yeah. It does look nice. And I like that it's aluminum. So yeah, so pretty interesting.
Go to the top down right there. No, up.
This one?
On the right, yep. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know.
I like
it's cool. Yeah, it's kind of expensive, but
how much
is it? It's like 300, I think.
Oh wow. Well, aluminum.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's gonna be expensive. So
yeah, you're paying for aluminum.
Yep.
So yeah, pretty interesting.
A lot of people didn't like the red. And the exterior, I think it's like a gunmetal or black, or you can do like a super dark green exterior on it, which I thought was kind of interesting as well.
There's the adventure, which is, and then the black.
Aventurine, yeah, whatever it's
called.
So yeah, no, it's cool.
I mean, they are showing it with a Strix card in there.
Yeah. I mean, it'll fit big cards. And that interior wall slides side to side, depending on how big your card is, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a solid. But yeah, like I said, it's like here are your fans. Like they're going to get choked off on one side with your GPU and probably part of your cooling on your motherboard.
Yeah, maybe.
But like I said, I like to see some builds in this. You know what I mean?
I know Greg Salazar did a video on it the other day.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Build, so yeah, it looked good.
Yeah. So well, cool stuff there from Antec. Maybe Ryan will build a new system eventually and use the case. We'll see.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So from there, we'll move on to our favorite products of the year. And I picked out some standout products for me, products that just, I thought that either they were just like the best of the best or stuff that's very good deal or just, like I said, stuff that I really liked. And this is all products that we reviewed. This is not some just random products. So I'll start out with graphics cards and a Strix is a Strix. I mean, it is one of the best looking graphics cards out there.
I wasn't a fan of the looks of this card when they first came out. I don't know why. I just didn't like the blue and the red combo. But when you see it in person and you see the lighting on, you're like, okay, this thing looks
There was like this meme when these came out because the previous gen Strix, the 30 series.
Oh, they looked great.
Yeah. And then this card came out and like there's like the Godfather meme that was like, look what they did to my son or something like that.
That was,
and I felt that way. And then we went to CES and then we saw like every company, when they were showing off their case or whatever, they had the Strix in there and it looked so good in person. It was just like complete and utter change. So this is the 4080 Super. Again, it's not just looks, great performance, great thermals, great everything. I did a full video on YouTube on this. And 4080 is essentially the closest you're going to get to a 4090 without paying for a 4090. This card is expensive. You are going to pay for it, but it has like great everything, cooling, power delivery, everything. You just get it all with this. Like I said, it is a very, very excellent card. How much was it when I reviewed it? It's expensive. $1,249. I don't know if it's still $1,249. You don't even know if you can get it anymore. But if you are looking at any graphics card, the Strix is just a league above pretty much everything else. There are a few cards that are kind of around the same, but you get so much more with the Strix. That's just how it is. So check out this review if you are interested or just want to see what a Strix card is all about. But I have to say it is one of the best graphics cards that I reviewed. Just pure quality, it's there. It really is. So like I said, any Strix card, I'm definitely a fan of. Now moving on to CPU coolers. This is not a looker at all. This is not a good looking CPU cooler. But it is one of the best value air coolers that you're going to find. So this is the Scythe Mugen 6, single tower, single fan, not that big. As you can see, it looks like an old school tower cooler, but it's $34.99.
Yeah.
And if you look at the performance of this, it's kind of like idle's kind of whatever, but if you look at load, it's like kind of in the middle and it's $34.99, and like the stuff that's at the top of this graph is all $100 or more.
Right.
So you could buy three of these.
This is like the new Hyper 212 almost.
Yeah, it's performance it's to price really, ratio, really good. Right? Noise levels are good because it's a single fan on there, easy to install. Like you can't argue with the price of this cooler. So for again, $34.99. Scythe Mugen 6 is the best value air cooler, I think, out there that's going to give you solid performance. So check it out. If you're doing air-cooled builds, that's like one of the ones that I would totally recommend. Moving on from that is a case that I really enjoyed, and we saw it first at CES earlier in the year, and it's just a cool case. It's nothing like insanely crazy to write home about, but when you do a build in it, it's gonna look good. It just is. And that is the Thermaltake, the Tower 300. And who would have thought that just angling the corners on this would make such a difference, but it really does.
Yeah, man. When we saw this at CES, I was like, it seemed like such a new case design, even though, like you said, all they did was like kind of angle these corners. And I mean, obviously made some additional changes, but this thing looks awesome and you can orient it on its side too. And it looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get the kit that allows you to put it on its side, which makes it looks like it really makes it look like a capsule, which is really, really cool. We've seen so many builds in this that are like capsule themed or like sort of space themed, which is really, really cool. And again, you can fit a lot in here. Room for four that I have a 360 in here, but you can fit a 420 rad in here. Great cooling. And like I said, it's not necessarily like the best case out there, but for the looks, like it just looks so good when you do a build in it. That's just what it is. Like it just does. Yeah.
No, I think there are a lot of good features in it. I think didn't this also have the option of having the LCD screen?
Yeah, so you can put an LCD screen. You have to buy it, but you can put an LCD screen in there.
That and the top kind of pops off weird too, doesn't it?
Or yeah, the top just pops off, and then there are two fans, and that bracket just opens up. So it is pretty easy to get inside.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I said, your build's just going to look awesome in this. It just is. So yeah, if you, like I said, if you're looking to do, and they have bigger ones too, if you want a bigger one now, I think there are a bunch of different models, but this model specifically, it is the one that I reviewed. I didn't review any of the other ones, but it just really stood out to me. It was just like, doesn't matter what you're like, what kind of build you're doing. It's going to look good in this case, I think.
A lot of colors too.
And it's going to be, yeah, a lot of color options, and it's going to be a showpiece on your desk or wherever you're putting this. And Thermaltake has like a lot of their specific colors, like their teals and other things. Like you can buy DDR5 RAM that has that exact same color. Like you can buy a bunch of different things that will match these really, really well. So really awesome case, probably one of my favorites that I did do this year. This is one of my favorite products, and obviously I use it every day. So I finally went the OLED routes when it came to my main monitor. The monitor that I'm looking at right now is the Gigabyte Aorus CO49DQ, which is a 49-inch QD OLED. And moving to an OLED for my daily driver has been absolutely amazing. Just the color fidelity and how everything looks is just so much better. And I really wanted to see, like, okay, I'm moving to an OLED. Is it like, am I going to see a difference? Is it going to be a difference? Because I used a 49-inch before for years. So it's not like the size was anything that blew me away. It's the quality and the detail that you get from OLED, and the, just like the lighting, how bright this thing can actually get in certain zones and all that kind of stuff. And this one's relatively affordable from Gigabyte. I think if you are somebody who's in front of a computer all day, I think going the OLED route is the way to go if you can't afford it. But this is a solid, solid monitor. I love it. I use it every day. And yeah, it's just great. So old man says monitor so long, one side is in a different zip code. Yeah, it's a long, but that's a great part about it too, is that I use it for productivity mostly. I wish I used this for gaming, but I really do use it for productivity a lot of the time. So like, this is what I'm, you know, I have three windows side by side. Like I have the podcast here. I have the screen that I'm showing you right here. Like that's in the middle, right where you see this. I don't have anything on this side because we're doing the podcast, but when I'm working, I have three windows open. It's like the perfect thing for productivity. But having the clarity and everything you get from OLED, and I do have to say that I don't want to jinx myself, because I knew somebody who reviewed another OLED, not from Gigabyte, from somebody else, and they got burn in. I've had this for like 3 or 4 months now, and I don't have any burn in. I do turn it off when I walk away, just because, and this does have all of the features for burn in and all that kind of stuff. It has those like protection features. So I don't have any burn in. I will obviously let you guys know if I ever do, but no burn in. And again, I do turn it off. Like if I'm going somewhere, like I'll work for a little bit, then I'll go for a run or something. Like I turn the monitor off. I don't leave it on. But just a solid monitor. So if you're looking for an OLED and if you're looking for a 49-inch, this one's relatively affordable and it looks absolutely amazing.
Did you bring your 49-inch to CES last year?
No, I've never brought it.
I don't think so. Okay.
That would be crazy. I'm not bringing it this year, obviously. talking about keyboards, it's also my daily driver. I'm using it. It's the Melgeek Mate 68 Pro Rapid Trigger Keyboard. So this is a rapid trigger keyboard. If you don't know what rapid trigger is, it allows you to have dynamic keystroke, which essentially means that you can select how, like if I just press a key down a little bit, it's a different actuation. You can have 4 different actuation points. You can set a different actuation point for each individual switch on the keyboard. It's just a cool little keyboard, and I love it, and I use it every day. It's so quick. That's the thing I love about it. And you can make it so sensitive to where you like barely touch a key and it's an actuation. You know what I mean? It's not like a true mechanical keyboard where I'm just pressing, I have to wait for the full actuation of the switch. So it's a very fast keyboard, which I really, really like. It has this cool light bar on the top. And like the sides are like this, like, I don't know, like these clouds. Like it's just cool.
It's cool.
Cool keyboard. Melgeek has been really, really good at their kind of design of keyboards, and like they make an all-in-one keyboard that looks like a custom keyboard almost. Where did I put the lighting? Did I not put the lighting in here? Oh, here we go. So it has like a light bar on the top edge too, which is really, really cool, I think. But it's a fast, snappy keyboard. You can do things like snap tap. You can do dynamic keystroke. You can do rapid trigger. You can do all that kind of stuff with this keyboard. And it's super, super fast. I haven't had an issue with it. And like I said, I'm using it right now. It is my daily driver. I use this every day. So it's a great overall keyboard. Maybe I'll bring it, Ryan, to CES because it's a clacky keyboard. Yeah. So. Ryan hates it when I bring like a mechanical keyboard.
Better bring more than one keyboard then.
I'll bring a quiet one. So
we'll see. Better.
Pseudoscientist says 49 inches is too much. Yeah, I mean, it can be for some people. It all depends on what you're doing. For me, it's the ideal size just because I can essentially do three, like basically have three monitors in one, right? And I can do all of my work all up on the screen at the same time. I think for a lot of people though, like 20, if you're just gaming, 27 inches, like the, especially if you're gaming at like 1440p, 27 inches, great. You know, so, old man says, I've liked the Epo Maker mechanical keyboards this year. They sell good mid-range keyboards. Yeah. I just got one in, I forget which one it is. I got another one into review from them. But yeah, Epo Maker is a really good keyboard maker too. They make complete keyboards that are, they look like custom keyboards. They do a really good job at that. And my last product is another Asus product. And when it comes to like, I talked about the Strix line. And then when it comes to their motherboards, the Maximus line on the Intel side, or what is it? The Crosshair on the AMD side. They're like their top of the line motherboards. And I had the chance to take a look at their ROG Maximus Z890 Hero. And like anything Maximus just has so many features that are just absolutely amazing. They redesigned the GPU slot on this. So there's no button, but you can still remove it without touching the slot or anything. It's real crazy. All the toolless M.2 stuff on this, great power design. All the extra buttons, the water cooling headers, everything on this board is just excellent. You, just like I said with the Strix, you see another level when it comes to a Maximus board. They are very expensive, and I think for most people, you don't need it. But if you're going to spend the money, you should get the Maximus because it has literally every feature and so many other little features that are not on other boards, because that is... For Asus, that is the top of the line. So everything gets put on that board first. And then when they go down the product stack, they start taking things out. So this is just a really, really good board overall for, of course, the new Intel processors. But if you're looking at any Maximus board, you're going to be really happy. They have everything, and they're just excellent boards overall. So yeah, that's my list of my favorite products that I personally reviewed this year. And we'll move on to Ryan.
Yeah, so I've got a much shorter list. I was going back through all the items I looked at this year, and I did a lot of all-in-one cooler reviews and some really cool ones that, you know, probably deserve to be here just about the same as this one. You know, I looked at the Ryujin 360 from Asus with the cooler or the screen, great performance. The Li and Li had great performance as well with the screen, but the one that stuck out the most and I was most impressed with was the Hightech Q60. We saw it at CES. We had seen it the year before behind closed doors. Got to take a look at it. It's a 240 millimeter AIO with a ton of unique features, right? So you've got that thick naming style there. And the reason that it is called the thick is because it has essentially a double thick radiator. It's a 52 millimeter thick radiator, as you can see here in the picture, much thicker than what you typically get. Usually we're getting a 27 millimeter radiator. This is 52. And then the fans are thicker as well. Usually you get a 25 millimeter thick fan. These are 32, if I'm not mistaken. 32. So you're getting essentially a 480 radiator in the footprint of a 240, which is just great, right? So you've got these fans that can push air through that thicker radiator to get you additional, you know, heat transfer from the radiator out into the ambient temperature. Has a lot wider fin density. It's only about 15 fins per inch compared to like usually right around 20. And you want that to be a little more open like that, so that those fans can push through that thicker radiator, right? If you had like a 20 fins per inch, you'd have a lot more noise and those fans would be struggling a lot more to push air through there. Anyhow, also has a pump built into the radiator as opposed to in the pump housing, right? We'll get to that in a little bit as to why, but that's another unique feature with this cooler. And then, and actually it's a pair of pumps. I haven't taken a look at this in a while. I forget some of the unique features on this. Yeah, a pair of pumps. We also have thicker tubing, right, to get liquid through this cooler. Very cool there. And similar to how the, what was the name of the mat that you looked at?
The Canvas.
The Canvas, right? Uses USB Type-C for its connectivity. So does the thick Q60. So their daisy chain connectivity uses USB Type-C, which is great. And as you can see here, we've got those connections for connecting the fans and the pumps and things like that. Another cool thing about those fans, they're not RGB enabled, but they do have a temperature sensor in each one of them. And they're daisy chained. I think I've got a picture of them further down in the review. Yeah, they're daisy chained with a Pogo style connector on them. So we don't have any cables or anything like that. They magnetically snap together, make their connections, but it's really cool that they've got that temperature sensor in the fan. And you can see that in the software, that they have. Now, the reason we don't have a pump in this, water block is we've got a huge LCD screen on there. It's a 5-inch LCD screen. It looks like there's a dang cell phone attached to this cooler. Right. And it swivels. You can rotate, you know, swivel it, move it side to side. You've got some flexibility as to the orientation of that screen. Just a really cool design. On the back of it, this white section is translucent. So you've got RGB lighting on the back. So you kind of get a back glow from this thing as well. Just a lot of really cool features that we don't see typically on all-in-ones. Or we've seen them, but height, like, turned it up to 11 on this. You also get a lighting controller and fan controller for everything. You can see here in this shot, you know, the LCD on that screen, it's so much bigger than the typical LCD you get in all-in-ones that come with them. Performance wise, performed really well. You know, idle temperatures were towards the top of our chart, and then our performance was right there towards the top as well. Without getting super loud, right? So just really, really great performance. Again, it uses that Nexus software, just like Bob was using for the mouse mat or desk mat. Some really cool linking that you can do with products in order to say, hey, I want this device to read off of this sensor, whether that's my CPU, my GPU, whatever the case may be, and how I want to route those curves and what I want them to be related to. So some really cool just functionality within that Nexus software for this cooler. Again, there's that similar look for the lighting that Bob showed. So you can kind of move it around in that planet or universe look. Lots of cool designs. I've got a couple videos or a couple examples in the video of how the software affects the screen. So check that out if you're interested. There's that backlit cooler there. I think I gave this a 10 out of 10. Yeah, 10 out of 10 and editor's choice. Like, I don't give 10s, yeah, like hardly ever. And editor's choice, like, I'll give a recommended, but editor's choice just doesn't come, you know. Now, it's not going to come without a price. It's a $300 all-in-one cooler. But you get some really nice fans, some really good performance, and just these extra features that you don't typically see in an all-in-one cooler. Yeah. So it's great. The only downside I had was, it's a little expensive. So
That's like I said, I really like that. And they're coming out with a 360. So they're going to come out with a 360. I got to preview that when I went up to Micro Center.
Yeah.
So they're coming out with the 360 version, which should have crazy performance.
Right. So that'll be like having essentially a 720 radiator in there if they keep the same thickness, right?
Yeah.
So It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so really excited, and we'll definitely see that at CES.
I'm gonna grab this other product. Hang on.
Okay, we'll wait for Ryan to grab it since he's not prepared for the podcast, it seems.
I had it too far away and plugged in. I was recharging it. I don't have a page or anything for this, but this is the Lenovo Go wireless portable charger. You want to make me big, I guess? Just so I can be out of focus, right? Yeah. But it's this here. So it's just a portable battery bank. Cool thing about it, though, is it has Qi charging on it. You got a little LED light right here. So you can kind of see how much battery is available, turn on the wireless charging, things like that. But it also has the cable that is built into the body, and that goes all the way around. So you've got some flexibility here for charging. So you've got the Type-C connection here for charging the device itself, or you can plug like your phone or whatever into this. You've also got another Type-C on the end for charging the device or another device plugged into that. And then you can charge wirelessly. So you can actually be charging three devices at a time.
Big. It doesn't seem to
It's not very big. Like if I put it up next to my phone, right?
Yeah.
Size wise, it's almost identical.
I've
been really happy with this. Had it for about a year and I use it all the time, right? Absolutely love it. It's a, I think, 10,000 milliamp hour, if I'm not mistaken. I can't see it. It's a little the font on here is too dark for
my lighting. Yeah, I think it's 10,000 because I have one as well.
Yeah, it's just been super handy. And the fact that I don't have to worry about a cable that's, you know, not attached to the battery bank is pretty awesome. So very cool there. Because I've got another charger right next to me that I'm, you know, charging up. It's the one that my son takes with him when he forgets to charge his phone overnight, and we want him to have his phone with him during the day. It's got a, you know, a separate cable and everything, and I'm always like making sure he doesn't lose the cable and has it attached. Just it being built in is so handy.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So that's like some of our favorite products of the year. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to talk about any some of the bigger stories in tech this year?
I wrote down two little notes when you first brought that up. Go ahead.
The biggest story of the year is like what's going on with Intel. I think that's the biggest.
Okay. Why is that?
I mean,
you mean all, with like leadership shakeups?
Leadership shakeup, all the stuff that's going on, like
the processor issues.
Processor issues all through the year. Their stock price tanking, mm-hmm. possible buyouts. It's not something that nobody really expected to get that bad. And then, you know, all the drama with the leadership. Was he fired? Did he resign? Nobody knows. You know, just didn't expect it. And didn't expect AMD to really, like, you know, especially this processor, these two launches, the 9000 series from AMD and the Core Ultra second gen from Intel. I mean, everybody's buying AMD. Everybody you talk to, if they're building a new system, it's AMD. Yeah. At least when it comes to enthusiasts, I think this generation, AMD is the clear winner. And you just didn't expect that, and didn't expect all of these issues throughout this entire year that Intel has gone through. Yeah. So I think, like, for me, like, that's probably the biggest story that I kind of stood out to me. And we talked about it so much this year on the podcast. That's what it was just like, you know.
Their saving grace is, like, you know, laptop saturation with their CPUs, right? They just totally dominate that market still. And then data center, you know, they're still the leader there. So not that AMD hasn't been making strides against them, but I think that will save them, and I think give them some headroom to kind of turn things around, figure out what they need to do next to stay competitive and profitable and in business, right?
Yeah. What about got for this year?
So my two notes here, and they're kind of similar. They're both kind of like drama stories, right?
Okay.
EKWB. And all of their financial mismanagement, employee treatment and pay, you know, pay and pay to companies that they've done work with. There's just a lot of things, you know, Gamers Nexus, and actually both of these were kind of brought up by Gamers Nexus initially. And, you know, Steve over there and his team did a bunch of research and deep diving to make these stories and videos that are, you know, long and in depth, and they've done their research. So yeah, EKWB having, you know, their issues with paying people, employees, and so on and so forth, and just the web of those companies. You've watched those videos that Steve does and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like Charlie on something, Always Sunny, or what's it?
Always Sunny.
And yeah, he's like, you know, got the board up there just pointing to everything. You're like, this is what it looks like, but it's in real life. So that was one. And then the next one was more recent, was the NZXT.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're kind of, hey, you can rent this PC, except read the fine print, and there's some caveats, you know, and as far as who actually owns it and what they can do with your data and changing prices and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, we've seen some fallout from both of those companies.
And I think that's the cool thing, is that the community, all of us, and obviously with the pool that Gamers Nexus has, like everybody, we can now make companies change for better, right?
Hold them accountable. Absolutely.
Yeah, hold them accountable, you know, and with everybody, whether it's through forums, Reddit, social media, whatever it is, you can hold those companies accountable, and that's a good thing.
And holding them accountable, like, and it's good that we can do it. And I think the reason it works in this environment, right, the enthusiast and, you know, computer fan, is because it's a small enough of a section that this type of and this size of noise, you know, goes very far on a company the size of EK or NZXT, right? These aren't enormous companies. They're good sized companies, but the ratio of like the size of your audience compared to the company is a lot different than, say, like a Ford or a Chevy, and, you know, like trying to write about a whatever they don't like about a company that they're doing, right? It goes a lot further in this community. So yeah, it's nice to see that kind of work can get these types of results.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, talking about, thinking about this year, what do you think, what are you expecting for 2025 as far as tech goes? Like what do you think could be some of the big things? What are you expecting?
I mean, I think my expectations really only start at the beginning of the year with CES and expected announcements, right? We know we're going to see something from NVIDIA, a whole slew of cards, a handful, right? So we're going to see that. And then we might see, like we said, the 5060 down the road later in the year. We're kind of expecting to see something from AMD as well on the GPU side, right? But past that, I don't know that I really see anything past the year of graphics cards to start the year. I haven't really thought much past that, but I just thinking about it, right? We've got new CPUs from Intel and AMD that just came out this year. So they're not going to have anything really new. You might end up with like an X3D part later on from AMD or something. But past that, you know, we may see some more revisions on motherboards or something, but I can't think of anything. We always get a little faster on monitor refresh rates.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about
you? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean, we kind of know what to expect at CES. Everybody kind of knows. There's been so many leaks. We kind of know. I think it's going to be a good thing. I also think that at least it should make 40 series more accessible to more people, because we should see a price drop on those cards when the 50 series is announced. And whenever that stock is done, it will be done. But I think that's going to be a really good thing. I'm trying to think, like, what else? Like, the Asus BTF and the MSI Project Zero, the motherboards with the connections on the back, I think we'll see more of those. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to see any other, like, weird form factors or things like that. I think 2025 is just going to be like a year of, it's going to be good because we're going to have new graphics cards. I think that kind of fuels a lot of everything else, right? So sure, New graphics card comes out, that means it's time for somebody to build a new system or upgrade their current system. So we're going to see a lot of that. Yeah, and nothing else crazy, I don't think. Like on the more broader thing, I think we'll see a lot more manufacturing come into the U.S. with the what they did with the CHIPS Act, bringing all that money for to expand the fabs, to build the fab in upstate New York. They expanded the one in Arizona. A lot of that. So that would be kind of cool to see all that production be done in the U.S. when it comes to a lot of our PC components. And then like mobile gaming that we don't do. Ryan and I don't do, but all of the gaming handhelds. Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that in the chat.
That's what old man said. Will it be?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a ton at CES. We saw a ton last year at CES. And
well, I was at Target today in the electronics section, and I looked over and it looked like they had maybe the Ally, the MSI, and one other. I was too busy. They didn't have all of them in stock, but they did have a Claw in the little cabinet down below. I was like,
I think it's like for Target, like because we see it as a very niche product, right? But I don't think it is.
Right.
I think
maybe larger than we think.
Yeah, it's a lot larger than we think. So I think we'll see. I don't think we'll see a ton necessarily, like announced, because the next big chip is the Ryzen AI chip, and then the other one from NVIDIA. Talking about gaming handheld, Switch 2 should be coming out. Will we see GTA 6 in 2025? Probably not.
I don't think we're supposed to, are we?
I don't know. It's all over the place. Ugh. So don't know. But yeah, those will be kind of the big things to look forward to. I think we'll see a lot of gaming handhelds as well. So lots of stuff to look forward to. Like I said, at the beginning of the podcast, this is our last podcast of 2024 because next week is Christmas. So we'll take that week off. And then our first podcast will be what? New Year's Day? Are we doing New Year's Day? The first?
Yeah, I think so. Let me look. Yeah, the first. Yeah.
Yeah. So that will be a little bit of a CES preview. We will have some reviews kind of come out before we go to CES as well. But then we'll have CES and that'll be a real busy week for us as well. So lots of stuff coming up. But it's been a crazy year. Anything else you want to talk about this year?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like last year at this time, I was like, all right, I think I'm going to build that new system. And here I am again going, well, yeah. I'll see what the 5000 series or, you know, the
problem AMD is that, so you're on like a Ryzen, what are you on?
5800.
Yeah. So like that, like I'm running a Ryzen 5000 3D, series yeah. in my main, and like right. That whole ecosystem is so good. You have fast right. storage. You have great motherboards. You have great performance on your CPU. Yeah. You really don't need to upgrade. You kind of want to, but like you don't need to. And that's the thing, I think, with a lot of these, like every generation, it's like, okay, you don't need to upgrade. You're not getting crazy leaps in performance when it comes to certain things. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think what the plan now, because at first I was like, okay, I'll do a full system. So what I think I'll do first is just GPU, throw it into with this box. And I'll see if like the 5800X 3D is bottlenecking a card in any way, right? If so, I'll probably, and the plan will be anyways, to move towards a case and a smaller case. And like that Antec came out and I was like, this is the case I've kind of been looking for. I really wanted to go micro ATX because that's my favorite form factor. But there's just not a case that I'm in love with.
Yeah.
And this one came out and I was like, all right, maybe. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on it because I don't like that there's only two fans in it.
And you have to get sort of like a lower profile.
I can't water cool it, yeah. right?
And you could, but it'd be hard. But
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't plan on any upgrades for my system. I don't plan on, I just got this monitor that I'm in love with. I'm not planning any, no real big upgrades tech wise or anything like that. If anything, I'm getting a new car in April, and I'm kind of leaning towards a Tesla.
Really?
Yeah.
Get one of the used ones from Hertz.
I did see that, but no, they're so like I lease my cars because I don't drive a lot, and like their lease is $199 for a Tesla, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm just like it'd be, but I don't know what I'm gonna do when it comes to the car thing, but that is a tech related thing that I'm thinking about doing. We'll see. I haven't even thought about it. I'll think about it when I get back from CES. That's because that's all my mind is on right now. But yeah,
well, it says $2.99 a month leasing for me.
Really?
You got a better deal, I guess.
And maybe, yeah, I don't know. I can look that up. But yeah, when I looked at it, it was $1.99.
Or like a Model 3.
Well, yeah, Model 3.
Just right, yeah. on the front page. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you select it, and there was a
you
way
you might to be get able it. To, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, wait, I'll bring it up. Just so this is a Model Y, but long, it's like $1.99 a month. Oh, that includes your gas savings. So I guess that it might be $2.99 a month, but still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Model 3.
Yeah, so it's going to be $316 a month if you take off that.
Yeah.
Or $83. Okay, so $300. Still, a $300 a month car payment. Like, you look at anything else now. I mean, sure, that's a lease, but.
Yeah.
Like, you're it's.
Yeah, so, like, my lease now is $278 or something. So. Yeah,
I don't have a car payment right now, so
I'm
loving that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like here, like where I live, like even in my apartment, like they have where you can plug chargers in and stuff. Yeah. Chargers. So it's like that's not a big deal. And I don't drive a whole lot, so I don't have to worry about the miles and anything like that. But I'll look at it, obviously, when that time comes. But yeah, that's the only upgrade I'm really planning. Like I did say, we'll be doing a whole new GPU test system. We might need to upgrade the AIO test system too at some point.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, so we need to do that. So something we can think about to do as well. So yeah, lots of stuff going on. But yeah, we'll keep you guys updated. But obviously, thank you guys who come out here every week and everybody who listens to the podcast. We always have Old Man in here. Pseudoscientist has been in here a lot. Corey's always in here. There's a bunch of other people who are always in the live chat. And of course, like I said, everybody who listens later, we definitely appreciate you guys. We're going to be jumping over onto Twitch because we do our gaming night after this. Twitch.tv/syncomputers. We're playing Marvel Rivals again.
To start, we had some issues with disconnects last week, but.
Yeah, and the game crashed on me last time, but we'll play that for a little bit. Ryan runs that stream again. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will see everybody in 2025.